The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We started this Bible study that we're currently doing. We're calling it Known and Loved. We started this on Easter Sunday. The whole idea behind this topic and theme is that Jesus, knowing us and seeing us as sheep without a shepherd, had compassion that moved him to action. He saw us as sheep without a shepherd, and he came down, not considering equality with God something to be grasped, but he lowered himself, becoming a servant even to the point of laying down his life and dying on a cross in our place. And the whole passage of scriptures that we've been looking at, we kind of started with Easter Sunday, looking at the death and resurrection of Christ, him conquering sin and death and in victory, offering eternal life to any who would receive it, who would come to put their faith and trust in him as Savior and Lord. And then we backed up about a week and a half, and we looked at the last 10 or so days of Jesus' life. We looked at his last big public miracle with the raising of Lazarus and demonstrating that he is life. He doesn't just give life. Life starts and finds its place in him. He is life. He is the resurrection and the life. And if anybody wants to experience true life, and one day resurrection to eternal life, they must come to know him. We saw this miracle unfold publicly in such a way that the masses saw of it and heard of it, and it was a catalyst through which God used to ignite a fire in the hearts of the Pharisees. I've got a sneeze, and it's bugging me, and it won't come. Edit that out of the podcast, okay? This is hurting. The Pharisees needed this man stopped. They saw this man teaching with authority and demonstrating power through works and miracles. And they saw this, and yet they would not believe in him. They thought he was coming to turn everything on its head, to strip them of their power, and they wanted him dead. And so the plot to take him out was a divine scheduled plot. And we're now coming up on Passover. Passover was a festival that was celebrated for generation after generation. Their forefathers and the people of old from the Old Testament remembered that their ancestors were captive in the land of Egypt. And Moses went and said, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "No, I've got Egypt to build. I've got these big pyramids, and I don't have enough people of my own. They're going to be my slaves. I'm putting them to work, and we're not letting them go." And Moses said, "If you don't, you're gonna wish you had." And plague after plague was sent by God on Egypt until Pharaoh finally gave in and said, "Get out of here. Take your people and get out." One of the last plagues that happened was the angel of death passed over. Now, God had told Moses, and this was a symbol, this was a foreshadowing of a bigger picture, the way that God would save his people and save all, for all of humanity, for all time. God said, before the Passover happened, he said, "I want you to take each household, I want you to take a lamb, about a year old, pure and spotless, one of your best, your finest, and I want you to sacrifice it, and I want you to eat it. And each year, I want you to remember what I'm about to do." He said, "Take the blood of that lamb that is shed, and as a symbol, I want you to put the blood of that lamb on the doorposts of your home, the wooden posts where you come and go. And I want you to wait, and the angel of death will pass over, and any home that has the blood of the lamb there, the angel will pass over, and you will be protected by the blood of the Lamb." Each year after this, the Israelites would remember, and they would celebrate God's love, God's provision, God's way of escape by celebrating Passover and having this feast. This Passover celebration is coming, and Jesus had orchestrated it so that his life would be taken from him at the very same time the Israelites were killing pure and spotless lambs. It was a symbol of Jesus saying, I am that pure and spotless lamb. I am the one whose blood will be shed, who will, as my blood is on the post of this wooden cross, as anyone who is to look to it, they can receive forgiveness. They can receive salvation. 1 John 1:9 says that if any come and confess their sins, he is faithful and just and willing to forgive of all unrighteousness. And so the Passover festival is being prepared for. Jesus, a week earlier, had healed Lazarus, had raised him from the dead, and now he's spending these last few days with his closest friends. The Passover's coming, and so he finds a home for them to go to. They go into the home to have this Last Supper together, this Passover time together. And let me read for you the passage as it was written in the book of John. This is John chapter 13. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. If you have your own Bible, I want you to circle that phrase. He loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, so they're already eating. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Judas was one of that inner circle, those 12. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, what are you doing? Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, you will never wash my feet." Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord, don't just wash my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, and he returned to his place at the table. And he said to them, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and that is right for you to do, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you what? Do them." So let's break down this passage together today before we go. This section of Scripture is captured in the book of John, like no other passage of Scripture, really clearly demonstrates the love of God for us, his chosen people. In chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, we see the love of Jesus demonstrated and the promises of Jesus given to those who are his own. Jesus loved the world. That is clear. Scripture tells us that. For God so loved the world. But there's a special love and there's special promises for those who are his children. And you and I have every right to be, not every right, but we have every way made possible. And there is one way possible for you and I to become children of God. And that one way is from John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, am the truth and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we see this love demonstrated. God is not someone who loves. God is love. And he cannot disown himself. Everything that Jesus did, he does out of love. He knows us. He knows our faults. He knows our failures. He knows our struggles. He knows the things that trip us up. And he loves us still. It was out of this love for us that compassion welled up within him to drive him to action, to drive him to leave heaven and to become one of us. Not just to live a life showing us good examples of how to treat others, but to show us that he is the life and that we can only have the kind of life that he's called us to live if we accept him and who he is as Savior and as Lord, not just a good example to follow. Do you know him in that way? It was just before Passover. Passover was always something pointing to Jesus. Jesus would be that ultimate lamb who would be sacrificed for the sins of all mankind. The blood that was shed by the lamb, there had to be a new lamb killed every year in remembrance, pointing them and preparing them for the ultimate lamb that would come, the Son of God, the pure and spotless Lamb of Jesus Christ. That time had come. And Jesus knew this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This means that he loved them not just to the end of his life and not just to the end of eternity. It means to the full. In every bit of way that could be loved, Jesus loved. Jesus loves us still. And his love is poured out freely to any who would receive it. There is no one too far away from the love of God. You just have to turn and believe and receive it. It is there for all. The evening was in progress, and Jesus was there to demonstrate for these guys one more lesson before he left this world. In Luke chapter 22, we see another picture of something that is happening at the same exact time. We see a conversation being had by the disciples. They're walking through the streets. They're waiting for the Passover supper to come. And while they're walking around, they're having a conversation saying, Jesus, how do we get to be your number one? How do we get to be the greatest in the kingdom? They're talking amongst themselves and they're like, you know, isn't Jesus amazing? He just raised Lazarus from the dead. We've seen him do all these miracles. Man, we get to be a part of this with him. How do we get to be first? How do we get to be the best? And they begin to argue among each other, and they're totally missing the point. And Jesus could have easily turned and just simply said, all right, sit down, I have another lesson for you. He could have given them another lecture, and that's often, sadly, all we do as the church. We tell people with our words instead of showing them with our deeds. And here Jesus doesn't have another lecture, he doesn't have another lesson. He puts on display for them to see, here is how you love. Here is how you get to be first. The first, those who want to be first, must become last. The meal has already been served. We see that they arrive at this home. I told you a couple weeks ago that typically when you'd go to a home, especially around dinner time, there would be a wash basin at the front door. The lowest servant on the chain, the one who hadn't quite earned his way up, might have been given that job to meet you and the guests as they arrived at the home. You're walking around in these dirty, filthy streets. Toe jam is growing. Nice fragrance is building up. And you arrive at this home. You're about to eat dinner. Now, back then, you're not sitting in chairs, but you're down reclining on the floor. You're just inches away from your neighbor's feet with all this gunk. And something needs to be done. Foot washing was necessary back then. And I might add, foot washing is still necessary, okay? My wife tells me that often, all right? And so, nobody was there to wash their feet. For whatever reason, this hasn't happened. They make it into the house, they're reclining to have dinner, and even Jesus' feet have not been washed. They're too busy arguing about who gets to be first. They're not about to say, maybe I'll take the role of the lowest servant and I'll wash everybody else's feet. They're trying to prove why they're worthy enough to be Jesus' number one or number two. And so they look around. Nobody's willing to say, okay, I'll do it. What happens? Jesus looks at them. He stands up from where he's sitting. He takes off his garments. He puts on a towel like a servant would. He grabs the wash basin, and one by one, he begins to make his way around the table, washing the disciples' feet. He comes to Peter, and Peter is Peter. He just doesn't always think before he speaks. And he's like, what are you doing? Jesus, there's no way. Now, part of this was out of, I believe, in some ways, a heart of a good motive. He met Jesus in John chapter 4 when Jesus arrived at the home and healed his mother-in-law. He saw Jesus show up the day when he had caught no fish in Luke chapter 5. And he's out fishing all night. He hasn't caught a thing. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, why don't you go out to the deep waters and cast your nets back out? And at first he's like, I've been fishing all night. You're the teacher. You teach. Let me fish. You know, he's that kind of guy who just speaks. But it says, knowing that he knew who this was, and knowing who this was, he obeyed, and he goes out into the deep water. He casts out his nets. His nets become so full that he calls his partners on the shore, come out, you aren't going to believe this. There are so many fish that both boats get filled. And Jesus is struck. Peter is struck. And he falls down to his knees and says, Jesus, get away from me. I don't deserve this. I'm a sinful man. He knows that there's something about Jesus. Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Jesus doesn't say, you know what, you're right. Jesus encourages him. Jesus knows Peter. He knows his faults. He knows everything. And he says to Peter, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. And they leave everything and they follow him. So for the next 3 years, Peter sees Jesus demonstrate love over and over again. Healing, feeding the hungry, taking care of the sick, teaching the ways of the kingdom of the Father. Peter knows who Jesus is. And so when Jesus comes to wash his feet, he's like, no, you are worthy. This is the job of a servant. There's no way. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus says these words. You don't understand. If you don't let me wash you, you have no part of me. And these words echo true, strong and true today. The truth is that there is a cleansing that can only come from Jesus. There is a cleansing that only the blood of the Lamb can take care of. And Jesus wants us all to hear today that unless you are washed by him, and the blood that he shed, you will forever be apart from him. Unless you are washed by me, Jesus says, you can have no part of me. Have you ever been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago. And while he was on the cross, we were on his mind. He went there to take our sins upon himself. He allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed to offer forgiveness and new life to any who would receive it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says to Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then forget this. Wash everything. Wash my hands, my feet, wash my head. And Jesus says another really deep theological principle here. He says, you're already clean. You've already had a bath. You're all clean, but not all of you. There is one here who is not clean, for he knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said not everyone was clean. The principle here is that we need to understand that ultimately we all need to be cleansed. We all need to come to a point where we realize that we need Jesus as Savior. And still, we need to know to come to him daily. Peter was told, I already know that you have faith in me. And I already know that the faith you have in me, I am about to die for you. I know what you believe. I know that you believe in me. The faith that you have has saved you. It will save you. You are clean. And many of you here have that same kind of faith. You've put your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior. But we still have dirty feet, don't we? There are still things in this life that we walk through that trip us up. As we run the race that God has called us to run, there are still things that we run through, things that we entangle ourselves in, habits, hurts, hang-ups, things that get in our life that we take on. And Jesus says, you need to bring them to me. We need to come daily to Jesus to have our feet washed, to have our sins forgiven. We can become children of God and yet still have sin in our life. And for that, we need to learn to come to our Savior, to allow him to wash our feet on a regular basis. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you come to Jesus to have your feet washed? He says this to them, demonstrating the greatest love ever. In the scriptures, it tells us that no love has greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. We then see Jesus, while we were his foes and enemies, we're going to sing about that in a few minutes, Jesus gave up his life for us. He goes beyond giving up his life for a friend and says, I'll die for you even when you're apart from me. I will give up everything for you. And Jesus did that for each of us. He gave up his life for us. And he says, you can do that. Now, and there are some people in this world who will do that. Some will fight for our country and put their life at risk. Some will go off to war and not return out of love for their family and for the freedoms that we have and for the rights and fight for the freedom of other people. People might give up their life for a friend. But very rarely will someone give up their life for an enemy. And though there might be some who do, you really only get to do that once. And then you're hopefully in heaven. And so Jesus gives here in this passage an example. Not just to be willing, we should be willing to die for our Savior. We should be willing to die out of love if that could help somebody else. But Jesus also knows that we need a great example of how to die to ourselves daily and love in a way that loves like Jesus daily. And so here he demonstrates that act for the disciples. He teaches them this lesson by saying, as I, your master, you have come to know me as Savior, you have come to know me as Lord, and now you've seen me wash my feet. No servant is greater than his master. And so as I have done for you, you should now do likewise. Washing of feet symbolizes a couple things. It symbolizes forgiveness. Jesus is willing to forgive us of every unrighteousness. Is there something that's been done to you in your life that you're holding on to that you've not been able to forgive? Jesus says, as I have loved you, you are to love others. As I have forgiven you, you are to forgive others. Is there something that's holding you down, that's a burden around your neck, that's happened to you that you've not been willing to forgive as Christ forgave us? The second thing here is that foot washing is a symbol of us meeting just real everyday needs. They needed their feet washed. There are people in our community who need food. There are people in our community who need a place to sleep. There are people in our community who need beds for their children. In the same way that Jesus met a simple, practical need, he calls us to do likewise. And Jesus says this in John chapter 13. He says, a new command I give you, to love one another. And by this, the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The call of God into our lives is not just to know him as Savior and Lord. The greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. But the second greatest commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. When was the last time you, in some tangible way, loved on the people that God has put around you? Next week, we'll get an opportunity as a church to do that together. But how this week can you love on your coworker? How this week can you love on the person who literally lives right next door to you? How can you live by showing love to the people who are in your life on a regular, everyday basis? Jesus here is demonstrating that love for us by washing feet, and he calls us to do the same. He says, truly I tell you, verse 16, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, it's one thing to know these things. It's a completely different thing to do them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. That is who God's called us to be. His servants, his sent ones. To go and to wash the feet of those that God has placed around us. To love on them and to point them to the Father. So as we close, I want to challenge you with these basic principles. Number one, do you realize that Jesus loves you? That he knows everything about you? And that he went through everything he went through to demonstrate and prove to you that he loves you. Number two, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you not only heard the story that Jesus died on a cross for you and his blood was shed, but have you come to the foot of the cross and said, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I accept your love into my life. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Though my sins be as scarlet, your word says they will be washed white as snow. Come into my life. Forgive me. Make me new. Help me to follow you. Have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Number three, for those of you who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you know Jesus as your Savior. Are your feet dirty today? Do you need to come to the Lord Jesus and ask him for forgiveness for some struggle that you're struggling with, to ask him to clean your feet so that you can continue running the race he's called you to run? Where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Do you need to come to him and receive that forgiveness today? And then, Jesus did this for us as an example to be followed. Are you willing to follow that example? And washing the feet and serving the people that God has placed around us. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that in spite of our dirtiness, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of how many times we stumble and fall, God, I know that even myself, I am so far from being the person that you want me to be. There are areas in my life where my feet are often dirty, and I have to come to you, God, and ask for your forgiveness and ask for your cleansing. And so, God, I come before you on behalf of my friends that are here in this room, and we come and we ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us, to help us to throw off the sins that so easily entangle so that we can run the race set forth before us, to live the life following your example that you've called us to live. Help us to do that, Lord Jesus. We cry out to you now, asking for your forgiveness and your cleansing. Father God, I also pray for those in the room today who may not know you as Savior and Lord, who may have never yet had a bath in the love that you flowed down from the cross. I pray, Lord Jesus, for those who have never, as your scripture says, who have never fully believed in their heart that you died on a cross for them. If there's somebody here who has never believed that, I pray that you would just call out to God right now from your heart to say, God, I do believe that. I thank you for dying on the cross in my place. I thank you for taking my sin upon yourself. Forgive me. Come into my life and make me new. Show me what it means to follow you. dying for me in my place and saving me today. God, I pray if there's somebody here today who's praying that prayer for the first time, that they would realize that their life has begun anew now, and that from here on out, your Holy Spirit will be present in them to help them learn what it means to follow after you. I pray that you would raise them up, you would give them encouragement to let go of the things from their past and to embrace the new life that you offer. And God, I also pray for us as a church that we would learn what it means to be foot washers every day, meeting the needs of the people that you've put in our life so that we have a right to be heard, to share your gospel, your truth. Your word says that they will know we are your disciples by the love we show for one another. So God, as we take this love, let others see that it's because of you and your love first for us that we now share your love with them. Move among us now, I pray, in your name. On the night before Jesus was arrested, when he was gathered there with his closest friends, his disciples, in honor of the tradition that had been done for generation after generation, remembering the shed blood of all the sacrificial lambs, Jesus took a piece of bread. And he said, from here on out, I want you to see things differently. I want you to know that I am the Lamb of God, whose blood will be shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. And he took that piece of bread and he offered it to them. He said, as often as you eat of this, remember my body that will be broken for you. He then took the cup and he said, as often as you taste of this cup, remember my blood that is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And so for those of you who are here this morning who know Jesus as your Savior, you are a child of God. We invite you to come and receive communion at any of our stations around the room, remembering what he did for us, and as an act of worship, saying, God, thank you for dying for me. Help me now to live for you. And for those of you who have maybe given your heart to our Savior for the first time today, we invite you to come as well. If you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus today to accept him as your Savior, let one of our prayer teams know. Come and let me know. We'd love to pray with you and celebrate that decision. And if there is some kind of struggle, for those of you that are here that you're struggling with and you feel like you can't deal with it on your own, we would love to pray with you. We'll have prayer partners in the back of the room. A few of us will be up here at the front. We'd love to pray with you. No matter what it is that's going on, we're here to help you carry that burden. Father God, move among us now, we pray. We thank you for taking our sins upon yourself, dying on a cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed to give us new life. Help us now to receive it, to now live and worship you in light of that. In your name we pray.